Hi, this is Roy Worley. Welcome to the interview show that brings on guests from all walks of life. Yeah, it's here that they tell their stories and delve a little deeper into their lives to see what got them where they are. So grab a drink, have a seat, and relax, because this is The Leo Effect.
When was the last time a short movie shook your emotions to the core? When was the last time a short movie caused you to rethink everything you stood for? When was the last time a short movie made you proud to be an American? When was the last time you felt the emotion to stand up and cheer after a short movie? The new short movie, I've Got Your Six, written and directed by Bill Foster, one of the industry's newest and fastest climbing directors, will answer all of those questions. Rarely has there been so much packed into a short movie that when you leave, you'll feel more proud of our American military veterans. A movie that was cast only with American military veterans will have you on the edge of your seat, cheering for our veterans and what makes America great. I've Got Your Six will be hitting the film festival scene soon. Be prepared to drop what you're doing and go see this powerful movie when it comes to your area. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Leo Effects. Now, tonight I'm joined by a very special guest. He's been rocking for so very long. No, I'm kidding. He's been doing this a while, but you know, I'm not trying to age him or anything, but I'm sure you've probably heard of him before. Please allow me to introduce to you Mr. Kenny Wilkerson from Nova Rex. How are you, sir?
Hey, Ray, how are you tonight, buddy?
I'm fantastic. I get to end my evening by talking with you and, you know, figuring out some more about what you got going on. And you've got some big stuff going on right now.
Yeah, and I appreciate not telling anybody my age. I used to walk barefoot in the snow. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, uphill both ways.
Both ways, exactly.
No, but you have been doing rock and roll for a while now, and that's extremely respectable. And I definitely want to talk about that some.
Well, I appreciate it. No, I've been in the Nova Rex. This is our 35th year. It's our 35th anniversary. We've been together since 1985.
Yeah, I was 3 years old.
Oh, damn. Now you make me feel old. I was only eight when I started in that band. Now it's all good.
So I guess my first official question, where did the name Nova Rex come from? Like, what does it mean?
You know, I'll tell you, it does have a meaning. We had a manager back in the day and when we first started out, and he kind of came up with the name, believe it or not. Nova, you know, obviously comet. Rex in Latin means king. So it means comet king. So when you see a shooting star, you know, the shooting comet, it means birth of a new king.
Oh, okay.
I thought about naming it after an animal or a rodent or something, but they were all taken. So we just went real deep with it. New king.
I like it.
Yeah.
That's cool. And so when the band was formed back in 85, like, how did that come to be? Were you guys just all friends? You said, hey, we should start a band.
No, we're absolutely not friends, but we did want to start a band. What happened was the band, believe it or not, was originally formed in Canada, and the original guitar player, who's still around off and on and things, is a guy named JP, and we got offered to come to, and I'm not even Canadian. The whole band was Canadian. At one time, I was the only American in the band.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so, but what happened was Daytona Bike Week, you know, it was even back in 85 was a big deal. You know, back then they used to have MTV and all that in Daytona as well. Mm-hmm. And I got offered to come down and play some shows and just wanted to put a band together to do that. And that's kind of how it started. And I came down, did Florida for a couple years. Then I think in 87, moved out to Los Angeles and stayed out there until 92. Doing our thing and, you know, playing the strip and, you know, management and lawyers and shopping and all those kind of fun things. And then the grunge thing kind of happened, right, with Nirvana. So the whole scene just went to crap for, you know, rock guys. And then I took the band back to Indianapolis, where I'm actually from, Indiana. Mm-hmm. And they were just a little slower catching up, you know, with that whole grunge movement. So it bought me a few more years there. I got a Budweiser sponsorship and it was really good. I mean, I had an L.A. full-on Los Angeles, you know, Sunset Strip kind of rock band, you know, based in Indianapolis, which was just unbelievable. And then in 95, I moved back to Florida. So I've been here since 95.
Wow.
So big circle.
That's a whirlwind of a trip.
Yeah, it was all good. Well, you know, what happened was I went from being in Los Angeles to a small fish in a big pond to going to Indianapolis, which was a big fish in a small pond. And it was suggested by our management and actually our label guys to do that. And what happened was we just cut a CD, first CD in my life, because prior to that it was albums. Mm-hmm. And I remember going there and getting on I came back to Indiana for like a week, or like a vacation from LA. And I remember going to a TV station, a radio station, getting all this attention. And then the very first show we played, I said, guys, we got to get to Indiana, man. They're giving us all this love. And the very first show I played was in front of 20,000 people opening for Cheap Trick.
Holy cow, that's awesome.
Yeah, so that kind of, it just kind of went from there, you know?
Yeah. Oh, geez. Well, you know, kind of speaking on MTV and first times and things like that, like, you guys, my listeners may not know this, but at one point in time, MTV actually played music.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah. And your band, Nova Rex, got featured on Headbangers Ball. Like, how awesome was that?
It was pretty awesome. Yeah, no, that kind of started off. And then, you know, just talking about the past, just a few years ago, VH1 came out with a story ranking the top. Well, basically, I always say we're in the top 50 because we were, but it was the top 100 hair bands from the 80s.
Oh, and, snap.
And we were number 48, right in between Firehouse and Bullet Boys.
Yeah, and that's extremely respectable.
I love both those bands. You kidding me? Just to be in that same category. So that, and then what really happened, you know, there was from about 2002 to 2010, we kind of took a break, mm-hmm. you know, still playing with JP. And then what happened was in 2010, I had all these VHS tapes for your listeners. That was something before CD or DVDs. For your listeners, that's not used to buy before you watch it on your home viewing stuff, right? Because people don't even know what DVDs are anymore either.
Right.
But I had all these VHS tapes, and what we did, we cut a greatest hit CD. I seen our CDs were selling. It was kind of a resurgent of that time frame. And so I did a glorified home movie. I mean, literally, we shot it with a handheld camera and did it in 3 days.
Nice.
A guy from Indianapolis that I knew, a guy named Dean Robinson, he edited the thing down, and damn, after it was done, it was pretty good. So I sent it off to Showtime, believe it or not, and they owned a channel at the time called the Documentary Channel, mm-hmm. DOC Channel, and they acquired it, and that thing played for a couple of years, 60, 70 times, and I knew it was getting airplay because I started getting contacted again by a bunch of people, and I remember going to different states. I can give you stories where I walk in, and they were like, hey, I seen you last night. Wasn't you on the Discovery Channel or Lifetime? Or they don't remember the channel, you know?
Right.
They're like, you're in a band. I'm at a grocery store. And they're like, you're in a band, you know? So anyways, it played on there for a couple of years. And then the Documentary Channel actually got bought out by Pivot TV. So they dropped that whole format. But then right after that, we got picked up by Netflix. And what was funny about that time, that was back when they still used to send the DVDs through the mail. Remember that? Netflix,
yeah.
You could get a DVD and you could hold on to it as long as you want. But then when you sent it back and mailed it back in a self-addressed envelope, they'd send you another one. And
right.
we were part of that whole mix, which was kind of crazy for a year or two. Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, I looked on Netflix a couple weeks ago and I didn't see it on there. I was kind of disappointed, but I'm sure it's on the internet somewhere.
No, you can see it on YouTube now for free.
Okay.
It's called Nova Rex Ain't Easy Being Cheesy,
exactly.
which was the name of our 1994 release during the whole grunge movement. That was our anti-grunge, right? Making fun of hair metal. But so that kind of started up. And then I ended up picking up a national Budweiser sponsorship at that same time. And then a lot of things happened. What started that whole kind of resurgence of it is that my mom called me from Indiana and she said, hey, listen, my dad's up in the attic. He found this Foot Locker. It's got a bunch of old swag, you know, 8 spandex and leather jackets and boots with spurs. I mean, crazy crap. And I said, look, why don't you just take it to the local museum there in our county? And this museum's been there 100 years. And damn if they didn't take the stuff. And then I end up flying up there to do a unveiling or whatever you call it, you know. And like 300-400 people showed up. Indianapolis Star, they gave me a parade. It was really crazy. So I thought, oh, my God, that was pretty cool. So then I got a hold of the Hard Rock, which is in Orlando at the time, the corporate was, and I gave them a jacket, an autographed jacket. The band had the logo spray painted on the back. Mm-hmm. And then 2 years ago, up in Daytona, which I'm not that far from, they opened a Daytona Hard Rock Hotel, and damn if they didn't put my jacket on display.
Nice.
I didn't even know about it. And this jacket's been sitting in storage for like 8 years with these guys, right? Or longer, actually, right? 10 years. And so then after that, I thought, well, that was easy. You know, Hard Rock, there's so many of them. My hometown museum, you know, I have all these people. So I ended up getting a hold of the Smithsonian on a dare. And I got a hold of the Smithsonian National Museum of American History. So I told him, I said, hey, I've got this 80s memorabilia stuff. I've got these leather chaps that are all bedazzled. You know what I mean? These crazy outfits.
Yeah.
And I said, would you be interested? So they said, look, send me a picture. And I did. And 2 days later, they contact me and they said, I'll take everything you have. So if you go to the Smithsonian National Museum of American History in D.C., which I have been to, I've taken the tour and went into the vault and everything else. They took a whole outfit from me, my guitar, my bass, the jacket, the chaps, the boots, you know what I mean? These cowskin boots.
Mm-hmm.
And they have it up as 80s fashion. So it's wild that when you go in there to the Smithsonian, which, you know, you think that it's going to be there forever and ever and ever and ever and ever, right? It's the Smithsonian, that when you go in there to look at like 80s fashion, because what they did, they put it next to a zoot suit and some other stuff, you know, like a disco zoot, you know, 50. I don't remember all the outfits they had, but just different genres mm-hmm. of fashion. And no, it's not Bon Jovi. No, it wasn't Poison or Motley Crue. They have Novarex representing 80s metal in the National Museum of American History. That's a true story. And that's the same people that have, I'm dating myself now, but they have like the Muppets, or they have like Indiana Jones and stuff, or, you know, you always see every year they'll do something regarding the Wizard of Oz shoes or Archie Bunker's chair, you know, Muhammad Ali's gloves, that kind of stuff. So it's pretty cool.
That is cool. That's absolutely wild.
Mm-hmm.
Future archaeologists, when they find the ruins of the Smithsonian, are going to be very confused by our timeline.
That's what I'm saying. You ever seen that movie 2012?
Yeah.
Okay, remember when the dude got the one book, you know, he sold like three, and that book made it onto the boat, right?
Yeah.
Ark. That's how I look at it with the Smithsonian. You know, looking like, 200 years from now, aliens are going to come down and go, what the hell is these guys wearing? You know?
I'm glad we missed this time period.
Right? Oh, I had a lot of fun, though. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And they always talk about the fashion from that time. And we all looked the same. We all had the same hair. But, you know, what it was is I think that we were just all busted, broke musicians wearing our girls' clothes. You know, most of the stuff I owned, somebody gave me at one point. You know what I mean? So, and then the eyeliner came into play and, you know, the Aquanet and all that stuff. I mean, that's been many moves for me too, bro. I mean, it's not, you know, but you know, I'll tell you, we did a show last summer and I do remember this one big event we played and a couple of these young girls come by in their 20s, early 20s. And they're like, oh my God, I've never seen an 80s band before. And I'm like, now you get it. Cause it's different.
Yeah.
It's different back then. I mean, even now when you see us live, we look like a mini Kiss show. I mean, we got flames and geysers and, you know, boxes that light up and it's crazy. So yeah,
that's
still
brand new. That's cool though. Like, I don't know, maybe that's just the time that I remember, but that's what makes a show.
Well, you know, I come from that scene. Plus, you know, what's wild now about just music in general, music business is so crazy. I mean, I don't even know where to go anymore. I mean, nobody buys albums anymore. It's all downloads, most of it free. The only way bands really make money anymore is touring, which none of us are doing that now.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it's just a moment in time. And yeah, so I mean, I know what I was gonna say. You know, when I was growing up, I used to wear like, say, Led Zeppelin, you know, Pink Floyd t-shirts. You know what I mean? When yep. I was a kid.
Yep.
And these kids, I mean, I'm talking 12, 13, you know, and these kids are wearing, you know, Motley Crue Poison shirts. And then what's wild now too, if you turn on the classic rock stations, that's what you're going to hear. You're going to hear Bon Jovi, Whitesnake. So 80s metal in general is classic rock now.
True.
It's made that circle. Just like when I was a kid, my parents were listening to, you know, the Beach Boys or, you know, the Rolling Stones, maybe, you know, that kind of stuff. And then, you know, then when I got, that's what I listened to from my parents. And then when I got older, you know, so it just kind of keeps evolving that way. Full circle.
Absolutely. For real.
That's why they have the stadium tour and these kind of things. Def Leppard, you know, these guys are all doing really well.
Yeah. Well, so. Speaking of, you know, when you were coming up and as it goes, you know, you were an iconic rocker and everybody kind of associates tours and things like that with metal bands and just hard rock bands as, you know, they get a little rowdy, they get a little wild. So, like, what's the most trouble you can legally tell us about?
Oh my God. I can't even go there. I mean, we've had cops knock on our hotel rooms many times.
You throwing TVs out the hotel windows and stuff?
I never did do that because I couldn't afford the TV.
Oh, that's fair.
I wasn't stupid like that. But just where do I start? Mostly groupies. You know what I mean? Mostly got in trouble with that kind of stuff.
Okay.
You know, you might go do a show, you know, because here's how I looked at it back in the day before YouTube and all that, right? Is that the only way to see these bands back in the day was to go out and have that experience, right? We all would go to a club, you know, the sights, sounds, smells, all that, right? Now, we might be in some podunk town in Illinois, right? Bon Jovi's never going to play there. You know what I mean? But we happen to be there tonight. Now, this girl that's trying to pick you up might be, you know, a waitress or, you know, a hairdresser in that town. You know what I mean? And doesn't see that kind of stuff. Does that make sense? What I'm saying?
So
we get picked up. So basically, I would say the biggest thing would be maybe the next day when somebody's knocking at the door with a shotgun because they're looking for their wife or their daughter or, you know what I mean? So we had those back in the early days. We had those kind of issues.
That's awesome.
Oh, yeah. It's crazy rock and roll stuff. And you know, all the stories that you hear, you know, I make a joke about us. I mean, we're definitely a smaller level than a band like, say, Motley Crue or Def Leppard or whatever. I mean, but those guys were rowdy, man. You know, you hear stories about having a pool under the stage or David Lee Roth and Van Halen pointing out girls to his roadies, you know, Kiss, you know, going back and having, you know, Paul Stanley on a bed with, you know, 30 women, you know, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The difference for us is instead of having, like, you know, after a you know, whatever show, Motley Crue show, they might have 200 girls backstage. We only had 20.
All right. Well.
Exactly.
There ain't nothing wrong with that.
There's only four of us. You know what I mean?
Well, personally, I like your music. I've been listening to it on YouTube and you know that it's the kind of music I'm into, so I can get behind that.
Oh, I appreciate it. You see that little lyrical video we dropped a few weeks ago, you know, during all this, everybody's freaking out over the coronavirus or riots or politics. Hell, I even threw UFOs in there, right?
Yeah.
But the thing is, we just dropped a video called Bosoms and Beer. So we went to the opposite. I'm like, look, man, sometimes you just need to rock. You know what I mean? I'm not explaining my personal beliefs on all that. You know, when it comes to, what do you say it? You know, politics and religion, you just keep that to yourself.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not in a position to tell anybody anything. So, but when it comes to rock and roll, let's do it, you know? So that's kind of what my thought was on that. Cause I'm just so sick of how everything's going right now.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's a crazy world we live in.
You know what? I have a son, which I'll talk about, you know, with the book, but my son, you know, he's 18 now. And I talked to him 2 days ago and I was like, I was kind of half apologizing. I'm like, bud, I don't know what to say. What's going on with all this stuff? You know what I mean? I just don't know how to explain it. And my parents are still around, you know, they're in their 70s, early 70s, and they can't explain it either. Nobody's seen anything like this before. And it's day by day, minute by minute. And all I want to do is just go out and rock, blow some stuff up and have a good time.
Right on. That sounds like a good time to me.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you just touched on it a little bit and I kind of talked about the musical side of this a bit longer than I wanted to. I just kind of got involved with that.
But oh, God, man.
I definitely want to talk
about the band.
Well, I definitely want to talk about your project that you came out with, and that was your book, Rockin' Recipes for Autism. That's an amazing concept. What's that all about?
No, I really appreciate it, man. You know, people ask me about the book, and I'll be honest with you. It's the hardest thing I've ever done. It's the most expensive thing I've ever done. And it's the most rewarding thing I've ever done. I'm really excited about it. What happened was I had this radio show for a couple of years up in Flagler, just north of Daytona. I did a Sunday night radio show for a couple of years. And my main thing was I was just interviewing buddies, right? Or just rock guys that I, you know, basically, like you say, in that rock star movie, I had these guys posters on my wall, right? So I'm talking to guys like Jack Russell and Mark and Mendoza and Bill Leverty from Firehouse. But anyways, what happened was one of the guys gave me a recipe. We were talking about going to New Orleans. I just came back from New Orleans. I was talking about how the food is. It takes you a week to recover from it. Nobody cooks like that. And they're like, hey, man, you really want New Orleans? My mom's got a recipe. I'm from New Orleans, blah, blah, blah. So they sent me a recipe, right? Mm. So then it kind of became a little bit of a running gag. So I collected a few more recipes. And then just a few years ago, I met this company called We Rock for Autism. They're a 501c out of South Florida. And they do music therapy for kids with autism, which is totally in my wheelhouse, right? So, I seen these guys at different festivals we were playing at. They're always there with a booth. And I ended up talking to Chris, who's one of the founders of it. And, you know, of course, after two or three years of seeing him, I was like, hey, man, what's this all about? You know, I have a son that has Asperger's, which is a form of autism, mm-hmm. high functioning. But I said, what are you all about? You know, why did you start this organization? You know, and I got to know him and he was totally legit. And so now I have a bunch of recipes. I have a charity, you know what I mean, that I can give the money to. And then I just reached out to the rock and roll community, called some buddies that I knew. I didn't call any managers, any booking agents. I just called the bands themselves. And what I ended up doing is I put together a hardback. It's almost a 2-pound book, by the way.
Holy cow.
it's like that textbook you got in history class or English class when you were in school and you're like, oh my God, this thing's way too big. But it's a hardback, full glossy. It's 128 pages. It's got 57 recipes in it. Mm-hmm. It's easier to say the members of, because I can tell you which guys, but basically I got members and former members of bands like Ozzy, Whitesnake, Quiet Riot, Stone Sour, Warrant, Poison, Evanescence, Great White, Queensryche, Skid Row, Toto, Dokken, and obviously Novarex. And that's just the cover. So I have a bunch of different guys in there, bands from Kix, the Bulla Boys, you know, et cetera, right? Enough's Enough, you know. And these guys were all good with it. And believe it or not, majority of them are actually really good cooks. You know, they're either foodies or these guys have owned restaurants, you know. So it kind of came pretty natural. And it's just a crazy mix of recipes in there. Everything from basically gumbo to jello, you know what I mean? and it's really good. This company in Orlando called Story Farm put it together for me. And what they kind of did, when you open it up, it's got obviously about the charity, the dedication to my son, why I did the book. And then it gives you just like a little nice little paragraph of each one. Like I keep talking about Roy from Stone Sour, the drummer. And it'll say something along the lines like, when Roy was a kid, you know, multi-talented, you know, musician, drummer, right? Mm-hmm. He was Grammy nominated, right? And he said, I'm actually reading it right now. It says, Roy recalls first coming, honing his craft when he was pounding away on his mom's pots and pans when he was a child. You know what I mean? And in recent years, you know, now he's got his one of a kind, you know, that kind of stuff. So it's really, really cute, unique photos in them, you know, photos that you just don't see around. I got most of the photos I got from the artists themselves. So they gave me what they like, you know, and just I've got everything. I mean, it's unbelievable.
That's the coolest thing I've ever heard.
Well, you know what else is cool about the cookbook too? It's never been done before.
Yeah.
And I get it too, because believe me, you know, pressing CDs or even DVDs compared to pressing books, whole different animal, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's, you know, it's never been done before. And so basically, if you happen to be, say, a Poison fan and you want to know what Ricky Rocket from Poison cooks, you buy the book. Right? You happen to like rockers, right? You like these are your fans of these guys. Or if you happen to have somebody that's on the autistic spectrum, you know, they say 1 in 54 people in America have some form of autism.
Right.
So with that being said, and you want to support a great charity, you know, obviously I told you what they do. then you buy the book. And the other thing that's cool about the book too, it's a cookbook. You know, the thing about a cookbook is they don't really expire. You know, if you're a band and you put out an album today, within a year from now, that album's done. I mean, you're off to the next album. It doesn't really have a long lasting effect. I mean, maybe a song, but you know, album wise, you just keep rotating them out. Mm-hmm. But with a book, and my girl, she's a really good cook, comes from a family of cooks, owns restaurants when she was younger. She still has Martha Stewart and Paula Deen, you know, and those kind of cookbooks, and she can still pull them out today and cook out of them. So it's kind of unique that way as well. And like I said, a lot of these guys are good. You know, they're kind of talented anyways. You know, I mean, they're working with the left side of their brain, right? They're musicians.
Yeah.
So a lot of them, you know, they went from, you know, it's pretty funny thinking about these guys just doing, you know, we always make jokes about, you know, cocaine and hookers, you know what I mean? And now you got families and you cook lasagna, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Or you got a chili recipe, or like Joey Allen from Wart has I think it's called Mama's Sunday Sauce. And it comes from like Italy, where they were from, you know what I mean?
Oh,
it's like a
cool
thing. Yeah. So, and I know I did good for the fact that every musician that's in the book was totally cool, totally easy to work with. And they all love being in the book.
Nice.
So yeah, I'm very excited about it. And it's a great cause, close to my heart. I've dealt obviously with autism. My son, he got diagnosed, I think when he was 7 or 8. We knew he was a little bit quirky at the time. It's my only son, so I had really nothing to compare it to.
Mm-hmm.
The first time dad. But then he started getting picked on in middle school. We started homeschooling him. We did that for a couple years. The last couple years, we had him in autistic school, you know. And the thing about is all these kids are the same, but just a little bit different. They're all like snowflakes. They all have a different little thing to them, you know. The thing that I'll have to say about it is the older they get, the easier it gets.
Right.
So that's a good thing, just because they just get a little bit better that way. You know what I mean?
Yep.
But there's some kids that are just nonverbal. Like I said, the autistic school wasn't really good for my son. He's a talker, and he'd have kids in there that, like I said, were just nonverbal, you know, or ate the same lunch every day, or wore the same clothes every day, or, you know, just a lot of little quirky things, but they're all like little mini superheroes.
Right, right.
So, and I don't know any other way. You know what I mean? At this point in my life, I mean, I thought he'd have tons of friends. I'd be at football games. You know what I mean? When you first have a boy, but that really happened for me.
Yep. As a kindred spirit, I'm also a father of an autistic son, and I can relate to everything you just said. So,
you know what it is in that group. Like, you don't even have to tell me what he's, you know, how severe or not severe or whatever. You're in that close knit community. You know what I mean? You're a dad with an autistic kid. So we're already buddies, me and you.
Right. Exactly. For real.
Exactly. Right, because we go through it. We know what it is. I mean, I'm like, God bless you. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I was sitting here listening to you tell, you know, the story of your son, and I'm like, man, been there.
it gets better, man. You know, the thing is, he did all that stuff when he was a kid. He was, you know, walked on his tippy toes. He did the thing when we'd go to a restaurant, especially a new restaurant, and it was a little loud. Mm-hmm. He would get all kind of frustrated and kind of bump around in his seat, you know, hands over his ears. You know, when he was young, he used to do the stimming thing where you do the little wave with your hands, you know, when they can't, but it does get better. How you said you had a son?
Yep. Yep. Son.
How old is he?
He's 14 now.
Okay. So, see, here's the problem now though. You got a 14 year old boy that without autism alone is already a handful.
Yeah.
You know, all the hormones are happening. You know what I mean? So we had an extra hard time really during those few years right there, 13, 14, 15, 16 ish. And then now he's getting better. But I'll tell you, my son, he likes obviously video games. I'm sure your son does too.
Oh yeah.
He's just a total nerd on that. But my son, the one thing we do bond with is I kind of like space stuff. I always did as a kid. I think I might've wanted to be an astronaut. I don't know. Being in Florida too is a big deal, right? I mean, they shoot off rockets seems like every week here.
Oh wow, okay, that's cool.
It is cool. I mean, you can see it from your house, you know. So, and then that's Elon Musk. You know, a lot of people say he probably has some form of autism, just because the way he thinks. But that's like when, you know, like I said, I'm growing up, I'm looking up to Jimmy Page and he's looking up to Elon Musk. Mm-hmm. So we connect on that. You just have to find out what they're into.
Absolutely. I'm probably going to be hitting you up with some emails for parenting advice.
I don't know if you want that from me, man. So
as the show's drawn to a close here, I kind of want to take a moment that you can tell the listeners all your different social media so they can go follow along with you.
Oh, great. Well, listen, as far as the band, since we started with that, go to Novarax. Facebook's the best way. We've got Twitter, Instagram. We got all the goodies. I mean, but it, really, if you want to check out the band, just it's Novarex, two words, Novarex. Google it, YouTube it, just like you did. There's dozens of pages of stuff. As far as the cookbook and you want to buy a copy, see what's going on, it's Rockin' Without a G, R-O-C-K-I-N, Rockin' Recipes for Autism. I call it Volume 1 for a reason because I plan on doing another one. Ooh. And if you go to rockinrecipesforautism.com, everything there is there. It'll list all the bands, a lot of the members. It gives you flip pages. There's a why I did it, where I did it, how I did it. And you can order the book there online. It's $29.99. So it's pretty inexpensive for that kind of a book. Everybody told me I went too cheap. And then as far – the other thing that's happening too is just I've got a radio gig now here in Central Florida. I'm 4 months into it. It's called Florida Man Radio. And you can go to floridamanradio.com. The show's called Real Talk with G-Love. You can get us on Facebook as well. And you can always download the app, say Alexa, play Florida Man Radio and all that. You remember guys like Bubba the Love Sponge?
Yeah.
Well, he's our morning guy.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah, Bubba the Love Sponge, Shannon Burke, he's another one. And we're on at 7 o'clock Monday through Friday.
Nice. That's awesome.
Yeah, I interview a lot of good people, man. So Monday nights we do a lot of national rockers. So and then we do Wednesdays independent things, and Fridays are just whatever. So yeah, it's a fun show.
Right on. I'm gonna have to check that out for sure.
Yeah. Cool.
That sounds cool.
Great, I appreciate it, man. Thank you so much, and God bless you with your family and the coronavirus, and thanks for giving me attention for the book. It's like I said, really close to my heart, and just trying to get it out there, you know.
Yeah, absolutely, Kenny. Anytime. And thank you so much for gracing my show with your presence. Like, you've been a really awesome guy to talk to. I've had a blast. You got some great stories.
Oh, yeah. Well, have a couple beers with me one night, and I'll tell you some really good stuff.
Stuff we can't say on air.
Right. I'm just glad there wasn't cell phones back in the day. You know what I mean?
Oh, for real.
For real.
Well, thank you so much again, and I want to say thank you to all the listeners who tuned in to check this out. Make sure to get over and get a copy of this book. I'm going to go and get one, so you're going to want to jump on this train, and we'll see you all next time.
Thanks, Ray. Appreciate it, man.
Now that was an awesome interview. Thanks so much for listening. You all are so great. And don't forget to head to Facebook, Insta, and Twitter and follow The Leo Effects. If you want to hear some comedy and ridiculous voices, check out Shattered Dungeons on YouTube and all other places podcasts can be heard. And you'll hear me voicing crazy characters, usually pretty terribly. So thank you so much. You all are the absolute best. And we will see you all on the next episode.